Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And away we go. It is a getaway Friday morning here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. And oh, we're having a little interesting mic trouble as we start off the day here at WWGH. Getaway Friday, what do we got here? Getaway Friday, October 22nd, 2021. How about that? And Getaway Fridays are always a lot of fun here on the station, and we've got a special guest coming to the studio momentarily that I'm sure you're not going to want to miss, for love nor money. And it's going to be a lot of fun here. And our special guest has just arrived here in the studio. And we do want to remind people as he gets settled in this morning that we are going to be giving away tickets to the Oak Ridge Boys concert this morning in Lima, Ohio, this coming Sunday. October the 24th, the Oak Ridge Boys will be in Lima at, I believe it is, the Vets Memorial Civic and Convention Center at 7:30 p.m., Sunday, October the 24th. We'll give those tickets away in the next hour from 9 a.m. until 10 a.m. with some country music trivia. So get your country music trivia hat on this morning, and we will get to that in the next hour. Do want to thank Richard Sturban from the Oak Ridge Boys for appearing on the show on Tuesday. Now, here in Marion, it must be country week, we had Sammy Kershaw Sammy was on yesterday, I believe, for the big Roots and Boots tour that is going to be at the Palace Theater tonight, about a mile away from here. And I believe he's going to be there tonight with Colin Ray and Aaron Tippin, all three of them. Acoustic performance. They call it the Unplugged performance. So we thank Sammy for coming on yesterday. And I'm sure you can still get a ticket to that, 7:30 tonight at the Palace Theater here in Marion. A little more housekeeping here. Candidates Night. As many of you know, the League of Women Voters has canceled Candidates Night this year, so we are going to pick it up much like we did last year. We'll have all candidates for City Council and Treasurer, and the Marion Star will be here this coming Thursday, October 28th, 6 days away, 7:10 p.m. until 9 p.m. here in the studio, and we will take your questions. You can call in a question for any candidate you like by dialing 740-383-9944 starting at 7:10 that night, 7:10 p.m. Now, a special tonight here on WWGH Radio. Back in summer, we went over to Bellefontaine, Ohio, a very interesting place, pizza place over there, 600 downtown. The proprietor of that restaurant, 600 downtown in Bellefontaine, Ohio, Brittany, has competed nationally in pizza competitions. I bet you didn't know there were national pizza competitions. But Brittany from 600 Downtown competed in those, and we went over and talked with her, along with the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, and 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, and we had a lot of fun with that. Also want to let everybody know that coming up next week, we've got some great giveaways. Boo at the Zoo is still going on. We've got some tickets left for that at the Columbus Zoo. And the Wilds will go on through October 31st, through Halloween. So don't miss that either. Or either. However you'd like to say it, in the comfort of your own home. An interesting thing, as many of you know, we just moved to the new studio here about 4 months ago, and the sign, I'm not going to get into the whole thing with the sign again, but we did have a meeting here last night, and we'll talk about the sign as the morning goes on, because it makes it a little difficult to find the studio when you don't have a sign out front. Our guest will attest to that here momentarily, and he's going to be here for 3 hours this morning. Lord. I know, serving as a guest co-host, and we're going to learn all about him. We loved him in this area, QFM, Wags and Elliott, for so many years, and before that, he is Daddy Wags, Mark Wagner. Mark, how you doing?
Scott, it's great to see you again.
Absolutely.
I must tell you that this studio of yours really takes me back to my first job in radio many, many years ago in Johnstown, where I worked out of a house by myself. And in fact, that's one of the stories I can tell you, because I don't know whether you're not old enough to remember, but I'm sure people in this area know or remember a time when we were, this part of the country, literally terrorized by the 22 caliber killer.
Mm.
Okay, that was a couple of guys, actually, who had committed a couple of murders and used the same gun, and anyhow, that was going on in the area, so it wasn't fun to be around by yourself. But I started down a terrible path to begin a conversation.
Well, we didn't get a pre-show meeting this morning, so we'll just go where it goes.
Well, I apologize for that. My wife and I have discovered the one fatal flaw of turn-by-turn navigation. If you don't turn it on, it really doesn't do you any good. So, anyhow, there we are.
Well, it's interesting, and just moving, we moved here from a building downtown about 6 months ago, and what radio has come to is, as you know, it's theater of the mind.
Oh, and, absolutely. And the reason I became a part of it, yeah.
And wherever you are is really not the point. It's what you do.
Yeah.
And so being in this Ohio Health high-rise downtown with elevators and all that was fun, but you couldn't do a whole lot because you were on somebody else's turf.
Yeah.
So it just became a better idea when that lease came up to come down here in a commercially zoned area. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun fixing things up, but we're fairly new in this house.
Cozy. It's very cozy.
Like being in your living room doing a radio show.
Yes.
Well, this is going to... You know, it's great to hear you back on the radio, first of all. When's the last time you were on the radio in a studio?
I honestly, it's been so long I can't remember. I, in a studio, gosh, it's probably more than a decade.
Really?
Well, I walked away. And you know, it's funny, I've tried to, my mantra these days, George Harrison wrote a song and had a lyric that read, the past was, be here now. Not only have I found that to be good words to live by, that's pretty much how radio or society goes anyhow. And Dan Rather found this out. I hesitate to compare myself to somebody like Dan Rather. Actually, Walter Cronkite left and thought he was going to spend the rest of his days doing reports and making commentary and being a part of CBS News, and Dan Rather wanted nothing of that. The past was, be here now.
You know, the only person I think who ever truly walked away and stayed away, because the pension is to come back if you're asked and do things.
Ego is a terrible thing.
It Johnny Carson, the only one, and it made his I guess legacy grow because he never did anything.
Well, I have found plenty to do. I will say that. And I'll be honest, ego got the best of me. I was tempted. I was being lured back. I considered it. I had the counsel of a couple of people. One, my soon-to-be wife of 41 years, Debbie, and then some other people one in particular who knew me and knew the business and everything, and after counsel from them, I decided no. I decided at one point that I didn't care for the people I was working for. And so I was just going to walk away. I was going to find myself a nice cozy house with a living room and, some Radio Shack equipment and to have a nice time just doing morning radio. And unfortunately, health got in my way, and it soon became evident that I wasn't going to be able to do that.
I worked at an iHeart station and walked away myself to come to a station like this. Mm-hmm. Now, my main reason, honestly, was, they had the big equipment and the big studio and all that sort of thing, but it was not the happiest place to work. Now, I can't blame that all on management. It seemed like the DJs who worked in the building came in the morning and shut their doors, and that was that. Nobody talked, and commercials and things of that nature, the way the stations were programmed, you had minute-long PSA. I think I was probably on the air for a talk show about 7 minutes in an hour, and that just was not, you didn't want to do it.
Well, I never did a talk show per se. I mean, we enjoyed many, many, many great guests, unbelievable guests. We were given the opportunity to converse with rock stars and politicians and celebrities and important people on all levels. But then we also played a little music, too. And I enjoyed the conversation, I enjoyed the creativity, and I enjoyed the music very much. That isn't done much anymore.
Tell me about leaving QFM. You say, essentially, that decision was made because of the people you worked for.
Yeah, I guess you could say that, yeah.
What happened?
Well, I just was up for contract renewal. And I told him I was not going to renew my contract. And that was that. I mean, this was like in January of whatever year it was. My contract was up at the end of May. It wasn't a stormy situation. I wasn't angry. I just decided it was time for a change, and it was time for me to find something more suiting, more relaxed, more less pressure. And then I wasn't feeling well one morning, and went to work and came home and still wasn't feeling well. And so Debbie took me to the emergency room, and I'm going to do something that you can't do very well on radio. I'm going to make a hand gesture here. Emergency room doctor came up to me and made this gesture. I'm holding my thumb and my forefinger about an inch apart, and he said, "Mr. Wagner, we think you're having a little heart attack." Mm. And can I tell you who has a little heart attack?
Who's
maybe
that?
You, somebody else, not me.
No.
There's only one kind of those. That I proceeded to focus completely on getting myself better on that. You don't want to start an old man down a litany of infirmities, but open heart surgery at OSU, God bless those people, and here I am.
There was a lot of talk at the time that you left. It's hard to walk away from a successful show.
It is terribly difficult.
And yours
the
was...
The friends, the people.
Yeah.
That's what you walk away from. It's terribly hard. It's easy not to get up at 3:30 in the morning. It's easy not to be burdened, and you know this. The people listening may not understand, but you know, 4.5 hours. There, go ahead. Boy, your job's so easy. I could do that. Yeah? Okay, I'm going to start my watch right now, and I'll let you know when 4.5 hours is up. Go.
We all hear that in radio. You just sit and talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kinda, but not exactly.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. When you left the show the last day, what was that like for you?
Well, see, there again, it wasn't a giant parting. At one point in my career, I and my then partner Pat Still left QFM to go to Detroit. That was a departure. That was here's our last day. A lot of emotion, all the rest of it. My final departure wasn't anything other than I just started taking sick leave and didn't come back to work. That's all.
And through the last decade, is it hard to stay retired? We talked about it here at the beginning. It's really
well. It is for some people. Yeah. It's funny. It is for some people. No, here again. Again, not to deny that I was tempted and wanted to considered going back, but no, my days are full. I'm happy. I'm blessed with two grandchildren that Debbie and I babysit. Even more blessed with a companion of some 45 years that I love dearly and get along with and enjoy spending time with. And I have my, up until a couple years ago, was caring for my father. My mother still lives in Columbus in the house where I grew up. And I'm happy with family and friends. And no, I'm not. Like I said, you miss the fun. You miss the friendships. But no.
How did it all start? When you were growing up in that house that your mother still lives in, did you want to be on radio? Was that the...
One afternoon on a Sunday, we were having a barbecue in the backyard, grilling hamburgers and hot dogs or whatever. Anyhow, afterwards, my brother and I discovered that you could, with a garden trowel, pick up the hot coals from the barbecue and throw them, and when they hit in the twilight, they would spark up. And so we proceeded to do that, and then, of course, I was barefoot at the time and walked around, and I stepped on one of those coals and got a rather bad burn on the bottom of my foot, which put me on the front porch off my feet for about a week. And my dad was an engineer for Ohio Bell. He was a first ticket radio telephone operator, licensed guy, very technology oriented, and he gave me his Zenith, the big Zenith 7 band radio with the twin antennas, and I sat there, and I, especially at night, boy, you know, the AM signal bounces around off the atmosphere, and you can pull in stations from all over, and I was listening to different radio stations, and the romance just grabbed me. The voice in the dark. In high school, through the church, through St. James the Less Church, Catholic Church, my dad did readings during the service and brought me up to be able to do that, to go up and read. And I took this course. It's called the Gabriel Richard course. Very similar to the Dale Carnegie course. I always laugh and say this knowledge, this technique, this way of thinking and acting was so inspiring that God inspired a couple of different people to push it. And I took this course in eighth grade and learned how to speak in public, to not fear crowds and be able to express myself. And then I started reading at church and so on and so on and so on.
Tell me how you got your first radio job.
Boy, how did I get my first radio job? I, in college, tried many avenues. If I drop the name Flippo the Clown, do you know who I'm talking about?
Look over your shoulder, right over there.
Oh, God, there he is. Bob, God bless his memory. I had, he put an ad in the Lantern, the Ohio State Daily student newspaper. They were looking for a new sidekick for Bob. Marvin Fishman is his name, really. And I was persuaded, my friends being an outgoing personality and fun at a party, they said, go over an audition. Go try out for that. So I put on my Sears and Roebuck sport coat and went over and tried and was not, I don't want to say failed miserably, but just didn't pass the test. And so I worked for the student radio station. I got a job there for the campus radio station. And then from that, one of the advisors at the campus radio station bought into a radio station in Johnstown. WWWJ, which I don't know whether it still exists or not, but there were three guys, and they needed, I got the word that they needed a morning disc jockey, so I submitted a tape and got the job.
Tell me about your first morning on the air.
What I remember of it, it was I had to drive from campus out to Johnstown, and it was a daytimer. I had to sign the station on. So my first day, one of the other owners was there and showed me how to fire up the transmitter and what to do and the format and all the rest of it. And I just, I remember back timing to get to the news and that kind of stuff. But it was three songs break, three songs break, three songs news.
Did you develop a personality, or essentially at that time, was that you on the air?
That was me. Although my personality develops as you develop as a person. That's where the word comes from. But there wasn't much personality there. It was mostly just getting the hang of it, you know?
Was there somebody you emulated, admired, wanted to be like?
Well, yes, I guess. Again, like I said, I was inspired by hearing a lot of different voices and different personalities. But as I came along, I found different personalities around that I thought, wow, that's pretty good. There's a guy by the name of Steve Dahl who's still on the air in Chicago. He was on the air in Detroit. Now, I had to get a license. I had to have a third-class radio telephone operator's license with a broadcast endorsement from the FCC. And so I had to pursue that because I didn't have one of those. I didn't need one for the campus station I was working at. So, and here again, my father, being a first ticket engineer, sat me down, gave me the books to study, and said, well, this is not a problem. This is no big deal. Rules and regulations, how to do the math for figuring a transmitter output, that kind of stuff. And I studied my dad's they're called SAMS manuals, trying my best to learn all the math and all the regulations. And then my dad, because I needed this immediamente, my dad put up the money and flew me to Detroit to the FCC office, field office there, to take this test and get my license. And I went, and I stayed with a friend of mine, still a dear friend of mine from college. He was working at Henry Ford Hospital at the time. And I went down and took the bus downtown and went to the FCC office and sat down to take the test and knew it backwards and forwards and took the test and took it up, and the guy looked at it and graded it and looked at me and said, "Sorry, Mr. Wagner, you didn't pass." So I came home. Well, I was allowed to continue at the station because the engineer at that station at that time signed off on a kind of a temporary thing. And so there you go. I studied and studied. They were coming to Columbus to give the test. My dad, I sat on my porch, my mom and dad's front porch with my dad, and he grilled me, and I went over and over and took that test and handed it in, and the guy looked at it and graded it and said, "Sorry, Mr. Wagner, you didn't pass." Mm. "And you got one more opportunity. Now what?" And finally, another disc jockey at the radio station where I was working said, how could you possibly fail this?" And then he said, "Are you studying their manual?" And I said, "No, I got this." No, here." And he gave me the pamphlet that the FCC puts out that basically tells you that I was just doing it wrong, that I didn't understand. They weren't looking for correct answer to questions. They were looking for the most correct answer. So I was failing this because I was finding these answers and finding a multiple choice test where there wasn't a correct answer there. I had to figure out which one was the most correct. Now, how this makes sense, I still to this day don't know. But then, boom, got it, boom, started. Now, while I was in Detroit to take that test, Steve Dahl was working there, and I heard him, and it was a revelation. Here's a guy who, to this day, groundbreaking. And then you introduced me to one of the guys, one of my heroes, Gary Burbank, down in WLW. You brought me up here to do a charity thing, and he was a part of it. And I got to meet him, and that was so. And there are many, many, many personalities, and any musician will tell you, you find the sound. You find the sound that you like, and then you make it your own, and that's what happened.
How did you come to QFM Columbus, Ohio?
Oh, that was once the station where I was working in Johnstown decided to go from, it was soft rock, they decided to go country. And I was, there were just too many things. I didn't really want to do country. I don't know why. God, look what country is now. Heaven help us. What a fine life that would have been. But I was driving out to Johnstown at 4 o'clock in the morning. I got caught in the great blizzard of 77 and stranded on the side of the road. Thought I was going to die. I mean, no joking around, Scott. I wasn't sure whether I was going to make it. My poor Volkswagen Beetle was snowed in. And then I was allegedly driving back after my shift and going to school. I rarely made class, so I just decided, well, I'm going to punt this for a while. I'm going to put everything on hold. But I always told friends, fraternity brothers, there's a station here. I was sitting in my apartment listening when QFM 96 signed on the air. And I said, you know, this is where I want to work. This is where I want to work. And boy, what a fortunate decision that was. The people, the format, the ownership, all top shelf and very, very, very supportive, and helped me develop a wonderful career. Gosh, unbelievable career.
The Wags and Elliott years, what were those like?
Fun. Yeah. Fun, for the most part. Again, there are issues, especially when you're not happy with the people that own the station. But coming to work, Jerry, I love him like a brother. We fought like brothers, but funny, God, funny and entertaining, and we developed a partnership. We worked together. We developed a give and take. And I miss that terribly. I still talk to Jerry. We still have a bet every year for the OSU-Michigan game. Being a proud son of Livonia, Michigan, I would call him a friend.
50 minutes past the hour here, WWGH Radio Time, joined in studio by the legendary Daddy Wags, Mark Wagner, for 3 hours this morning, right through 11 o'clock. We're going to have a lot of fun as the morning progresses here. Daddy Wags, where did that come from?
That is a name that is assigned to pretty much every male with a last name Wagner. Daddy Wags was Leon Wagner, a ball player who played for the Cleveland Indians, now Guardians. He went out to Oakland. He played for Oakland for a while. Ended up in a John Cassavetes movie, of all things. Sadly died penniless on the streets of Los Angeles, but he was a personality, fair to middling ball player, and he taught Michael Jordan everything he needed to know about marketing. He had a clothing store in Cleveland when he was an Indian, and his slogan was, "Get your rags from Daddy Wags." And everybody with the last name Wagner has that name, including, I'll tease a little bit here, Bob Costas thanked me on the air one time on NBC after a World Series broadcast. And it wasn't me. And yeah, I got credit for it. But he was talking about another young man whose name was Mark Wagner, who was known as Daddy Wags.
Well, we will tease that story and hear about that as the morning progresses here. Now, the Wags and Elliott show, and your morning show in general, it's very interesting because, much like Gary Burbank, it was not Bob Connor's morning show, but it wasn't the morning zoo either.
No.
What was it?
Well, that's a good question. In fact, maybe I should ask you, what was it?
Well, it was an interesting hybrid.
Yes, yes. Again, I liked the music. I liked the camaraderie. I liked the interviews. I liked the pace. It was entertainment. That's all. It was entertainment.
Gary Burbank, Gary Burbank's become a good friend, been on the show quite a bit, and Gary said one of the reasons he left was because he spent, from the time he got up until he went in that day, and he did the afternoon shift, mm-hmm. writing. His show was very written, and he had writers who he met with. How did the morning come about on your show?
It was not scripted. We had an idea. And if I may, this sounds a bit pompous, but it was more jazz than symphony, if you know what I mean.
I do.
We had guests, we had, you know, you have a clock, I'm assuming, and if you picture the face of a clock, consultants used to insist that you have a clock. And it's important when you're doing morning radio because people commute. We're speaking to commuters, by and large, and so they have a schedule themselves. If I'm not getting on the freeway when the news comes on, I'm running late. If I'm not getting on the freeway when this happens, I know, or if I'm not pulling into the parking lot, they have a set schedule. So it's important to hit certain junctures. It's important to hit certain marks. But I maintain I don't want to do the same clock every hour. Let's, again, have a little bit more flexibility. And so that's kind of the way I envisioned it. And that's kind of the way that we pursued it.
We had a little bit of that this morning because as you were coming in, people got to hear the theme about three times as you were coming in, which happens. Yeah. It's live. What can you do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any regrets in this career?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Oh, in my career?
Yeah. What regrets in life? Well, let's go both ways.
Well, absolutely. Of course, in life. And I'll tell you, the funniest thing, I'll reference a day, if I may be the old man for a little while, before shopping plazas and all that, when Macy's was Lazarus in Columbus, there was the big Lazarus store downtown, and my mother never learned how to drive, by the way. Would take me, my brother, before he went to school, or after before I went to school, we'd get on the bus and ride the bus downtown from North Columbus to go to Lazarus to buy clothes. And if you were good and didn't whine and cause problems, you worked your way up the store from the first floor up to the sixth floor where the toy department was. And in that toy department, there was on the wall clown faces. Cartoonish, about 2 feet around, oval mounted clown faces. And one day I was going down North 4th Street in Columbus, head back down to campus. And I looked over in a junk shop as I passed, and there was one of those clown faces on the wall, and I thought, I want that. I gotta have that. And by the time I went back, it was gone. Mm. That I regret.
That may be the most interesting regret I've ever heard on radio. That's an interesting one.
Dan, our producer on the show, asked me one time about that, and he stopped, and he said, no, you don't have regrets. You've take care of your regrets. I regretted not graduating from Ohio State with my class. I went back. 34 years later and finished my degree. My mom and dad came to the graduation. And in Ohio Stadium, full, I managed to find, as I sat with my fellow graduates, I found my mom in the crowd. And way across, if you can imagine, Ohio Stadium full of people, I found her and our eyes met. And I fixed that regret. I finished. I got my degree.
And mom is still with us.
Mom's still doing just fine, yeah.
That's great to hear.
Yeah.
Any career regrets?
I really don't think so. I mean, I did what I wanted to do. I did it for pretty much about as long as I wanted to do it. I worked with some of the finest people. I got a chance to do what I wanted to do. Traveled the world, Scott. Traveled the world. Germany, London, California, New York. I met all kinds of people. I fulfilled my furthest expectations. So, you know, I can't think of what I would have fixed or done different.
Did you ever have a bad morning?
Oh, absolutely. All the time.
Yeah, just
all the time.
Everything went wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you said something you wish you had not said.
I've been guilty of that, yeah.
Is there anything that sticks out in that department?
I once played, quite by accident, left on my own, an unedited version of a comedy bit that was a regular part of our show. I haphazardly, I should have known better, but I played an unedited segment.
With some words the FCC wouldn't have liked.
The word, Scott.
Oh, the word.
The word.
The big one.
Repeatedly.
Oh.
Nobody died. Nobody seemed to bother or worry about it. I don't know whether it was ever brought up to my employers. Life went on. This seems trivial now. It was then, it is now. It's one of those things where I'm sitting there and I'm going, did he just, what? Hey, whoa, nah, let's go. Find something else. Let's go. You know, yeah, that happens.
Best morning? Best morning on the air?
Oh, man, it would be difficult to single out a best morning.
Best guest.
I'd have to say there's a handful. Let me think about that for a second. I enjoyed noteworthy guests. Let's put it that way. Then governor, eventually Senator George Voinovich. One of the finest men I have ever met in my life. He was governor of the state. We were doing a show from the fair. He was on the show. And it was one of those moments where you just look at this guy and listen to him. And that's, of course, the toughest thing about our job, what you're doing right now. Listening. Listen to your guests. You don't need a script. You don't need a prepared list of questions. If you listen to your guests and you let them take you where they're going to take you. And I remember sitting there talking with George Voinovich. I had Ray Manzarek from The Doors, the keyboardist from The Doors. I had his home phone number. Did an interview with him out in L.A., and we got along great. We were going to go to the Millersport Sweet Corn Festival together. I asked him, but never got around to calling him and making arrangements. Oh, gosh. Every guest, in their own way, brought a little something special that were unique to them. The things that made them interesting to talk to.
We have about 3 minutes left here in hour number one, but Mark is going to be with us until 11 a.m. this morning, so don't go anywhere. Going to try to get a couple more questions in here this hour. Don't forget we've got those Oak Ridge Boys tickets to give away, and we'll do that before the morning's over this morning. Biggest misconception, when you become a well-known broadcast personality, people have a conception of what you are. What was the biggest misconception that people had about you?
That I'm anything other than Mark Wagner, a family guy. I have three beautiful children who are grown adults now, and they're all doing great. They have fine careers. But you know, my kids swam. I don't know, my wife got them into swimming. We have a neighborhood pool in our neighborhood in Westerville, and got them down to the pool and got them swimming, and we went to swim meets, and I used to go always, you know, to the swim meets. And you go to a swim meet, the pool closes, it's another pool brings their swimmers, and they have a swim meet on Wednesdays evenings and Saturday mornings. And families, kids running around, all age groups, marvel. It's what I consider to be a perfect environment. And every once in a while, you know, I'd be standing at the end of the pool. My daughter was swimming on this one particular day. And so she has to dive in the pool, swim the length of the pool, make a turn, come back. And I'm standing at the end of the pool, and I'm watching her swim. And this guy from the other swim team's parents comes up, "Daddy Wags!" And of course, you know, hey, yeah, you know, I'm sorry, I'm kind of watching some. "What are you doing here? What am I doing here? It's Saturday morning, I'm at a swim meet. What am I supposed, you know?" "Well, hey, pal, you know, I was driving down the road, I saw a bunch of young girls in swimsuits, and I said, I gotta stop and get a piece of this. I'm here because you're here. We're watching our children swim. What do you mean?" And I had to kind of bite my tongue and go, "Well, you know, hey, wait a sec. Wait till my daughter finishes the race, and then I'll answer your question," hoping that, you know, get the hint. "What do you mean? Obviously, it's obvious why I'm here." But no, he wasn't convinced, I guess. "Well, yeah, my daughter swims. I'm a parent. I live in a house. I work for a living. I pay taxes, a lot of them. You know, I go to the PTA meetings. I was cooking team dinners for the football team. I was involved with my children, and I guess that they can't picture you as a person, as a family man, as someone with a life."
With 15 seconds left, how would you like to be remembered by your audience?
A guy that had fun.
That's a good way to be remembered. Daddy Wags, Mark Wagner, is with us this morning and will be for the next two solid hours here. Oh, man.
I don't have it in me.
We're just getting started here. Stay tuned. News and weather coming up. We'll be back in about 10 minutes.
Plenty now, Bill. And you are listening to WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Streaming.